to the University of Delaware.
Councilman?
They would have vendor bears twice a year. And we never had any money for supplies.
There was a time.
So my
little rainy, but it ended up, you got it off, huh?
Welcome to the executive committee meeting. Welcome to the recording has started, by the way. Well, the recording has been started, right? Welcome, everyone, to the executive committee meeting.
Well, that's okay.
Tuesday, March 27th, 2012. We have Councilman Smiley, Councilman Kilpatrick, Councilman Sheldon, Councilman Bell, Councilman Tackett, Councilman Street, Councilman Weiner, Councilman Powers, Councilman Cartier, and Councilwoman Diller. And filling in, we have Christina Blumenthal.
Motion to approve the minutes of previous meeting?
Second. We have a motion to approve minutes and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
The minutes are approved. Moving on to item four on the agenda, ordinance 12-025. We have someone from administration to discuss this bill, and we have, fingers are being pointed.
Helen McKinley with the Human Resources Office. We had a request from the Recorder of Deeds to review the position of the Recorder of Deeds Office Administrator and make some changes to the job description, which we did. We're upgrading, recommending an upgrade from pay grade 23 to pay grade 24. We also have the Recorder of Deeds here. If you have any questions that you want to ask us.
Thank you. Mr. Recorder of Deeds,
yes,
welcome. I guess the base, again, basic purpose rationale behind the upgrade.
Well, the rationale behind it is back in actually the second quarter of 2006.
I'm sorry, can you state your name for the record?
Excuse me, I'm sorry.
I didn't have you state your name for the record.
Michael Kosakowski, Newcastle County Recorder of Deeds. Good afternoon, everyone. Back in the second quarter of 2006, I had three office administrators back then, downgraded to a deputy position, which those responsibilities of the office administrator were passed on to the present two office administrators. And of course, at that time, you know, we were looking at the economy was doing okay, but I didn't feel at that time that we could justify giving them pay increases. And of course, now that things have, where timing is everything, things have turned somewhat where I was able to get ahead, not only reduce another position, account clerk three, to account clerk one, and reclassify that. This was the opportunity and the timing for me to get ahead and reward those two office administrators with a pay increase at no cost to the county, because we were able to get ahead and reduce that amount in our budget. When you looked and made the comparisons, I figured that was the timing for us to get ahead and reward them. So that's my justification.
Councilman Smiley.
Yeah, to HR, I just want to ask, you said you the job description has been modified, it was adjusted.
Yes.
So based on that, HR recommends, feels that this is appropriate.
Yes.
Thank you.
Any other questions, comments from members of council? Any questions, members of the public? Seeing none, Mr. Kosakowski, thank you very much. Appreciate your explanation. Thank you for your time. Moving on to substitute number one to ordinance 12-016. This is regarding the previously created position of pension and benefits administrator. Anybody from the administration? I see Ms. Beatty. Please introduce yourself for the record.
Valencia Beatty, Chief Human Resources Officer. Actually, there's two components to this ordinance. One is really a housekeeping measure, as you indicated, where we're substituting the position of a pension and benefits administrator for the compensation systems coordinator. Excuse me. But the first piece of it that you did not allude to was where we're doing a housekeeping cleanup, where there was a substitute ordinance that had actually expired in 2005 that is still sitting in the code, and so we're removing it at this point in time.
Any member of the council have any questions, comments on this subject matter of this ordinance? Councilman Tackett.
But I guess maybe a little clarity could help, but if it expired, how come we have to remove it?
Pardon?
If it expired, I guess, per the ordinance, how come now it has to come back and be removed by another one.
Well, actually, you have to have an ordinance to take it out. You don't have any language in it that, you know, removes it automatically. Glenn Beatty, Chief Human Resources Officer. You don't have anything that removes it automatically, so it's just sitting out there. And it doesn't have, it has the effect of law because it is still in the code. But it's not practical because in the language it said it expired, so no one took the time to remove it off the books.
And I guess the second portion of the question for Helen. Helen, I think this might have been when you were acting, but is there anything associated with this? Remember when those employees got upset over there and came out and actually came to our meeting a little bit on deposition and...
Is this? Back on the reclassifications?
Yeah, and there was that position that was added and... there was a few employees in that department that were somewhat upset, and they came to our meeting that
actually
time.
Actually, what it is, that position was created and was subsequently filled, but this is actually just to clean up some language where they say it's the compensation and pension systems coordinator that's on the OPEB board, mm-hmm. when actually it's the pension benefits administrator. So it's just cleaning up that language.
Okay.
Any other member of council have any questions, comments? Seeing none, open the floor to the public. Any member of the public wishing to speak on the subject matter of this ordinance, please indicate at this time. Seeing none. Moving to the next agenda item, ordinance 12-017. Who is the administrative appointee for this ordinance?
Well, this is a tag team approach, actually, with the Chief Human Resources Officer and Jim Robb. Actually, the Office of Human Resources, Risk Management, as well as the Office of Law work collaboratively on this ordinance, whereby we're trying to afford the same opportunities to those who have been injured through occupational injury to be able to be placed in positions within county government, similar to how those are placed who have been injured in a non-op capacity. Jim?
Yes, and oftentimes we'll have a police officer or a heavy heavy maintenance worker that has to lift, you know, hundreds of pounds and so forth, or a police officer, we all know what they do, injured in the line of duty. And a year or so will go by with treatment, various treatment, perhaps even surgery. It just is obvious that the person is not going to get to the point where they're going to go back and be able to do their job. So the typical track person like that is disability pension, workers' compensation. Workers' compensation, as some of you know, is for life, and that can really, it can run into the millions between the pension and the workers' compensation. This creates another track, an ability to, if there's another job open somewhere else in the county, to place that person in that job without the usual posting requirements and so forth. Got a good employee into the county, say 10 years, why let him go out the door and just have a disability? Let him have the opportunity to have another job. And then they're back in the workforce.
And to be clear, this only the major change of this is to remove the posting requirements for that position to allow that disabled, permanently disabled employee, after review by a physician of the county's choosing, to be selected for that position without the posting requirements?
Actually, the wording, Mr. President, is posting and examination are waived. However, the ordinance itself says the position for which the person is qualified. So if an examination is required to determine that, of course, the human resource is going to do that. They're not going to say, well, you know, if you look good to me, we're going to come do this job. They're going to make sure they're qualified. All right.
Councilman Smiley?
Yeah, I just need to follow up, and maybe it's just the choice of words. You said to provide the employee with the opportunity. Does that mean it's optional?
I don't think so.
No. Okay. I just need to clarify that. Thank you.
Councilman Retta, and Councilman Bell, Councilman Hollins.
Thank you. In that same line, Jim, that Councilman Smiley was talking about, I believe you said that they have the opportunity. Say they don't meet the qualification for a pension of 10 years. They come under the 10 years and they get hurt on the job. Okay? Now, if they can be offered another job, do they have to have the qualifications to that, or can they go through training?
They they would need to have the qualifications. They would have to, Lynn Beatty, Chief Human Resources Officer, they would have to demonstrate that they have the qualifications to do that. We did not put a proviso in there to allow a period of training.
Okay, so really, if the person can't work a computer that well, they're not getting the opportunity to go and try that job.
That's
sort of like Social Security, what Social Security says, if you can use your fingers, you can go and try and become a computer operator.
They would have to go, Lynn Beatty, Chief Human Resources Officer, they would be examined. So they would go through an examination to see if they can do the basic skills. If, for instance, they submit a resume and it shows that they have some technical skills, but they're not sure. We would test them out to see if they're able to do that. Then if they demonstrate that they can't, then no, there would not be a 3-month, 4-month training period for that position.
Okay, now how does that affect them getting hurt on the job? Payment compensation.
How does that affect
them? Yeah, well, they can't do their job that they were hired for because
they
got hurt.
That's correct.
They're not qualified to do a different type job.
Right.
Now, how does that qualify them for any compensation?
Let me take that.
Yeah, sure.
This still works. Go ahead. First of all, Councilman, let me correct one thing. As to the disability pension, there's not a 10-year requirement to qualify for a disability pension.
I understand. I'm just saying pension.
Okay. The person would qualify for workers' comp like anyone else. If they left the county and they had a disability that made it such that they could not perform any job in the workforce whatsoever, then they would get the maximum workers' comp rate, which currently is around $610 a week, for an unlimited period until they do, until they are able to return to the workforce. If, however, they're just not able to be a police officer or a heavy maintenance worker, but they can make minimum wage or perhaps more, maybe a police officer can be an investigator, then there's a calculation done, the difference between what they earned before versus what they can earn out of the workforce, and they receive workers' compensation based on that difference. Mm-hmm. Let's say it's $100 a week,
right.
They'll receive 2/3 of that in
right.
a non-taxable check for up to 300 weeks.
Right.
That's called temporary partial disability.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
And to follow up with that line of questioning before I turn it over to Councilman Bell, if they choose this next job, they would be giving up that ability to seek other forms of redress for the county?
No.
No.
If the other job, we have a particular person that comes to mind in this position that we've been paying every week for 2 or 3 years since we orchestrated it. That he was, I believe he was a tree pruner. He made X amount. Now he's doing a job that doesn't require climbing trees and so forth. So he lost $100 a week or whatever. So he gets $71 a week or whatever it is, and will for 300 weeks because of that difference in pay. Even though he's still employed with the county, he's employed making less. So he's got a reduction in earning capacity, and that is compensable under workers' comp law. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you. Councilman Bell, Hollins, and then Weiner.
I think it kind of fits into the question I had as far as, like, if you're a skilled person and you're injured on the job and there's a position that you can fill, okay, and you're qualified for it, pay grade, pay step, does that follow you over to the other job?
Indeed, Chief Human Resources Officer, yes, it does. Based on your requisite skill set, it would follow you over. When you test out.
Okay.
So if you're a step 7 police officer, mm-hmm. and you become a tree trimmer or what have you, when you test out, we will look at your level of skills as a tree trimmer and slot you appropriately.
Okay. And I guess, you know, so you're looking at somebody that's got qualifications, and if they do have the qualifications, they may not make the pay grade and pay step that they were at in another
That's
position.
Correct.
And so I guess I'm hearing one thing about dedicated county employee that's been here, has done a great job, you want to retain them and keep them, but yet you're going to lower them in pay, and doesn't that have a reverse effect because now we're paying in a different avenue to make up for the difference?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Am I missing something?
No, I don't think you are missing something, but if you look at it more globally, you're paying them two-thirds of what they were making. So they're basically, since it's not taxable, they're receiving basically the same amount between the paycheck and the workers' comp check for up to 6 years, 300 weeks or so. It's true, it's coming out of different buckets, but it's coming out since...
But there's someone being made whole.
But I'm looking at the fact that if you didn't have to pay disability, if somebody has been injured but is working full-time in a different position, you're still going to pay disability?
You have to, understand.
Okay, all right. So that's where the difference would be made up. Okay, all right. Okay. Okay. Okay, thank you.
Councilman Hollins?
Learning something.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a couple of questions. One has to do with compensation, the other has to do with medical. So if a person is getting the workers' comp for, say, the next 6 years, they no longer receive it, so then they could continue to work at the reduced salary.
Yes, sir.
And how does that impact on their retirement?
Meeting Chief Human Resources Officer. It depends on, you know, what retirement plan they're in, and then we would look at the three highest years, or how, you know, if they were a police officer, the highest year when they left, we would take a look at what plan they were under and the earning capacity they had before they became injured.
So would the workers' comp be added, be counted as it does for the highest 3 years? Would that also include the workers' comp or just the salary that was paid for the past account?
I believe it would include just the salary. It's a salary, yeah.
So they would actually get paid for the retirement benefit, if it happened, if the highest years were after they were injured, they would get paid a far less, say, two-thirds less, or one-third less on their retirement or thereabouts. If you, in that six-year period,
okay.
The three highest paid years coming in that six-year period.
Right.
During that six-year period, the county dollars only represent about two-thirds of what they were receiving.
That's correct.
So their salary would be based on two-thirds of...
that's correct.
Then what about on medical, would the... if you decided to bring someone in on what I would call light duty, and they had a reduced salary, not making as much as they were making, so their determination in terms of ability to perform would only be at the discretion of the county attorney, or would the person have the opportunity to also seek a medical referral from...
It's an
internal doctor.
A
county doctor.
It kind of troubles me.
Councilman,
my question.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Weiner, then Councilman Smiley.
Thank you. Having practiced workman's comp on the claimant's end, I look at it. Now, of course, representing the county from a different end, so I think I have a broad appreciation of the relationship between the parties. Does the county initiate commutation?
We do, on occasion, initiate commutation settlements. We haven't actually done a commutation in the 4 years or so that I've been the risk manager, but we're always evaluating them. As you know, it's a balancing.
Yes.
And also, if someone is in a situation where, let's say, they're receiving a few hundred dollars a week, and it doesn't seem like much, and maybe they'd like to have 20,000 lump sum, but you don't accomplish a whole lot by giving them the 20,000. From the county standpoint, unless they also are willing to accept a lump sum for medical. And if they are pushing 60s like some of us are, and you've got to commutate medical, now you've got to talk to Medicare and CMS and so forth. They're going to want to set aside. Somebody decides to take 30 or 40,000 bucks in a lump sum for their medical. That's pretty irresponsible, because within 6 months, if they retire from the county, they're going to be on the disability, the retirement medical, or they're going to be on Medicare, or they're going to be on Blue Cross. It's very short-sighted.
Yes.
So all those factors have to be. But to answer your question, we're always looking at a top three list of who we think would be good to commutate, cut down on our list of open players.
And do we have a program of reviewing those that are on disability for our
our own doctors to review and see if perhaps their status has changed?
Yes, we did. We have an active program for that. Yes.
Annually, okay. And since you've been in this position, the number on the rolls, has there been a net increase, decrease, stay the same in terms of those that are on disability workman's comp? Mm-hmm.
It has remained about
do they know?
There's a, when you have a police force and you have heavy maintenance workers out there hanging around, a number of people are going to get hurt.
Yes.
Each year.
True.
And once people are hurt,
it's true.
In some sort of serious nature, such as a police officer, they often stay on a period of these temporary disability for the full term of 300 weeks. The numbers stay about the same.
Yes, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Councilman Smiley?
I just want to comment that, you know, based on my past, like, I think this is a good program. It's a good move for the employees. I mean, in my past life, I represented some of, you know, our members with workman's comp. I had to deal with them, and actually was part of a group that pushed to move forward with a modified work program, similar to what you're saying. Because what we had out there was, you actually had workman's comp who were trying to alleviate some of their costs. If they found a job that the employee could do, they had to take it. If they didn't take it, then their workman's comp stopped. So I had people out walking the malls at night as security guards for minimum wage, not getting anything contributed to their pension, not getting the family health care that they needed. And what the turnaround, what this plan does, which is what the modified work program did, it brought them back into the company, back into a useful environment, making a better wage, being supplemented by the workman's comp, contributing to their pension, and being able to continue to health care for the family. So, you know, This is a plus. Will everyone like it? No, because believe me, I ran into members who didn't want to go back to work, and I'm not saying that's the case here. But versus what can happen, this is a good opportunity to allow an employee to remain viable in there and continue getting their benefits. So that's all I see.
Councilman Powers?
Just a couple questions, kind of going off with Penrose has said, the money from workman's comp would be your difference. And I know you use an example of somebody older, close to retiring. But say you're a police officer at 20-some years old, the workman comp, 300 weeks, is 25 years. So if they're reduced on their pay, their pension's going to be reduced to what it is, and the comp is not going to help on their pension, which if they hadn't been injured working for us, they would have gone their whole time and got a full pension. And I understand, you know, the savings, but is that the right thing we need to push out trying to get people to work for the county? You get hurt on the job, you're going to, I mean, I understand what George is saying, but I got to think about this. I think that's kind of what Penn and I wrote it down, you said it, but if it doesn't go towards that, I mean, why would you want to be a policeman to get hurt within 4 years? You got the next 20-some to be there, and you're going to be at a reduced pay because you're now working, doing something else, and you're going to get it tax-free for 25 years. Then it's done.
I think we have Mr. Greg Wilson maybe interested in chiming in here.
Thank you. Greg Wilson, County Attorney. I just didn't want us to lose sight. I know people are making points about whether or not what the effect in any given situation would be. And for example, Councilman Powers, you're assuming that somebody takes a job, a desk job, and doesn't make more. That person could make more during his career.
That was partly what I was going to say. Am I allowed to say anything?
Please, Councilman, open the dialogue.
You know, yeah, most likely in 20-some years, his pay could go up to more, being pushing a broom. But if he had stayed in his career, it would have been a lot higher.
And we can certainly look at these issues, but there's no one size fits all. Right. What I wanted to, the point I wanted to make was, I think we're getting beyond what this ordinance does. This ordinance is correcting an anomaly that we already have, which is, if you are an employee and you are injured at home and you're unable to perform your job, we have a statute that says that you can get priority when you, in competing for another job inside the county that you can do and you're qualified to do. What this does is just level that playing field. So because we had a strange situation where if you went home and, you know, hurt yourself falling off a ladder, you'd have priority applying for a job. While if you were injured at work, you would not have priority. You'd have to compete with everybody else, and maybe, and nowadays we get 180 people applying for county jobs. So the chances are you might not obtain that even though you were injured on the job. So that's the narrow scope of what we're dealing with tonight. And I know people have raised other questions, but I don't want you to lose sight of what's before you tonight. And I think it's a good thing for workers to be able to have that opportunity to compete, or actually to have a priority to obtain another job if they're injured in their current job and unable to perform.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson, for focusing on the issues in front of us in this ordinance. We had Councilman Cartier, Councilman Hollins, Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Pass.
I'm fine. Good.
Councilman Hollins?
Then currently, I thought you had said that we have an employee now that's in this situation that's working for less. So if we have that going on now, why do we need to make this change? I guess that's what Greg was trying to address. What is the fundamental need if we're already doing it? Is it costing too much to the county? Or my concern is that, understanding everything that's been said here among the colleagues, but the fact that it could go the other way. I mean, you could be forcing someone to work who honestly is not able to work. And if the person only had the option to see one doctor who works for the county, then it seems to me that that's pretty narrow. So if someone is injured and the county decides, well, you can perform this job, and the personal doctor saying, well, the person is unable, then our doctor says, well, you are able, then that's it. The person has no other option. They have to, in fact, take this job a serve or some penalty because they didn't have an option to get a third opinion. And that's my fundamental concern. I think the rights of the individual who's been here, as Powell's is saying, could suffer from an injury while performing county work and not be fairly compensated through an accident that's of not their own choosing or making, rather. And I don't know, I have an issue with that.
I believe we have at least three balls.
Please state your name again for the record,
Jim
sir.
Rock, risk manager. We have at least three balls in the air here, and I can take them one at a time, Councilman Power. The policeman that has been injured and can no longer be a policeman is in that situation. He doesn't have the choice, obviously, of saying, okay, I'm going to work another 15 years and be a policeman and get a higher pension. It is what it is. If he's able to do other kinds of jobs, let's say he was making 30 an hour, now he can make 20 an hour with the county, he also can make that 20 an hour out in the workforce. So if he left the county, that first of all, in the pension system, there's a provision for a person, police officer injured on the job who can no longer be a police officer, can get a disability pension, even though they can do other jobs. It's a lesser pension than if they couldn't do any job whatsoever, but he can get a lesser pension. So that's one option. Another option is he could leave county employment, but he's not going to get full workers' comp because his earning capacity is still $20 an hour. So, I mean, that train has left the station. He's in that situation. You can't go back and say, too bad, he can't have all those years as a police officer. The other thing is we focus on the idea that there's one doctor, one county doctor that makes the decision. That's really oversimplifying it. I know you don't want to expand this into a 10-minute lecture, but under the collective bargaining agreements, we've got provisions that if the employee's doctor says the person's not able to work or is able to work, and the county doctor says otherwise, and we just did this in a case about 6 months ago, we hire a third doctor that's agreeable to the employee's attorney or the employee, and that doctor's decision is final when you've got two doctors disagreeing. So there's all kinds of built-in safeguards to protect against what you have described, where one doctor decides something and it's unappealable and there's no way to correct it. I agree with Greg that it's not a perfect solution, and to your point, Councilman Howell, that one person that has been placed in the lesser job 3 or 4 years ago, I'm not sure what the process was to do that, whether there was posting, examination, et cetera, but now there wouldn't have to be in order to do that if that person was gone or something else. That's the difference. I think that's all the balls in the air.
Councilman Weiner, then Councilman Redup.
Yeah, sure. I mean,
sorry.
Okay.
From what I understand, your description then, in the county system, there is no opportunity to appeal at that point to the Workman's Compensation Board, where you basically come down to an independent body evaluating the testimony of the applicant and the different doctors and making a decision. Are you saying that doesn't apply in this particular instance?
You'd have to set that scenario up for me a little better, but I have to say that the industrial action board, the workers' comp law, is a separate world. And if the person truly is not able to work because of a disability,
yes,
it makes no difference what the county decides to do with their internal process, with the collective bargaining agreement or anything else. That person could go right over and file a petition with the IAB. It has every right of every other employee in the state of Delaware.
Okay.
No effect.
Thank you.
Yes,
sir. Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. President. What kind of input have our employees had into this this process?
As with Lynn Beatty, Chief Human Resources Officer, we sent this ordinance out to all of the locals and allowed them two and a half weeks for feedback and input. We only received one comment. Actually, we came to Jim. From Local 1607, and the concern was transfer employees. Would they still be given consideration pursuant to the collective bargaining agreements? And the answer to that is yes. That was the only issue we had.
And when was that sent out?
Hold on, I think it was let me just give it to you. I have it here. January 26th. It was sent at 5:20, and all the locals had until Thursday, February 9th.
Thank you.
Any other questions, comments, members of council? Seeing none, open the floor to the public. Any member of the public have any question, comment on the subject matter of this ordinance? Seeing none, moving along. Ordinance 12-018. Councilman Cartier.
Yes, Mr. President. I was not able to be here at the last meeting. I had a family issue where this was discussed, and I just want to take council members back to, first of all, this ordinance, the substance of this is it deals with the promised pay increase for our council, Carol Doolin, and as I said, I was not here at the last meeting, but I understood that there was some issues raised. But I wanted to take the time to transport council back to that time where we had the opportunity to hire Ms. Doolin after an open process, and she was the remaining candidate and an excellent candidate and highly qualified for the job. And we hired her, and with the understanding that at a pay grade, I believe 37, with the understanding that after 1 year, we would then take positive evaluation, we would then hire her to pay grade 39, step 10. And in my mind, it's crystal clear what was promised her. That was my legislative intent on hiring. And I would just like to request that we consider to untable this ordinance and bring it to a vote for council tonight to see what the will of council is. I'm crystal clear about what I intended to do and on hiring her, and I think other members of council should have the opportunity to vote on this proposed increase for Ms. Doolin, promising to fulfill the promise that we made to her.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Smiley?
First, we need to clear up the fact that there was no discussion when you were not here. It was tabled.
Okay.
The discussion all took place at the prior meeting when whoever was here was here.
Okay.
So there was no discussion that you missed. So wherever that came from, that's wrong. I guess, again, I've heard this time and time again, and I consider myself to be a man of my word. I've heard this time and time again, and I really need someone to tell me, if a promise was made, what council members made it, by what authority, and what was the promise? Because what we have in the letter was an agreement that we would revisit. Mm-hmm. We would visit the issue. I've seen no document, and I can tell you, I was not part of ever putting on a table for any applicant that there would be an automatic increase based on this, that, or the other. So if promises were made to Ms. Doolin or anyone else, I apologize. I'd like to know who made them and by what authority that they made them, because I was not part of it. Doesn't mean I have to be, but if someone made promises, then they need to step up to the plate, because I'm not aware of them. Following on that, I will just reiterate my motion that this be sent, that the pay issue for the position of council to council and the job description be sent to HR. I understand, we all known for years, we don't have to abide by what HR says, but we have sought their counsel before. We've taken into consideration what comes back, and I would make that motion. It either gets a second, it doesn't, it dies, whatever, and then I'm done with what I have to say.
Councilman Weiner.
Thanks. I don't think that whether or not there's a promise made or not is a relevant factor. I think Carol Doolin deserves this raise. She has an incredible skill set. We're so fortunate to have her, and I look forward to supporting this proposal tonight.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Smiley.
Yeah, Councilman Warner, promise wouldn't be relevant, but the term keeps getting put out there.
Not by me.
And I didn't make any promises.
Yeah.
But and it's just a term. It's a word, okay. And that's why I asked for clarity on that. Mm-hmm. But I guess, do we know? Do we know what we're voting on? And one of the reasons I wanted HR was, are we aware of the dollar value? Because I heard that the purpose was parity with the solicitor. From what I understand, based on the pay freezes on the other side, that the council's pay would actually exceed the solicitor by over $4,000. If that's the intent of the council, that's the intent of council. I just think everyone should know what they are voting on, which was my idea behind HR. Mm-hmm. With that, yep. I'm done, and what will be. Mm-hmm. I can live with anything.
Councilman Cartier and Councilman Warren.
I would just say, laying aside the word promise, we just vote on the substance of the ordinance as presented to us, which is to adjust the pay grade 37 to pay grade 39. And it has a fiscal note attached to it. Ordinance number 12-018 for tonight.
And Councilman, I believe the Exhibit A includes the pay grade and the amount of pay of the current position to the new position. Councilman Weiner, then Councilman Tackett.
Yeah. I don't base my support for this on whatever the solicitor's salary is. I just think that Carol Doolin, with her skill set, deserves money that's being requested, and we are an equal and separate branch of government, and unlike having a whole law department on the other side, we've got one attorney, and she's great, and we should give her this raise, which she really deserves, and I hope we end up supporting it.
Thank you, Councilman Weiner. Councilman Tackett.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I, too, hope that we can get our arms around this and move forward. We can bring it to the vote a little bit later tonight. For whatever reason individual council members have, so be it to them. If they can get six other members to agree with them, then that'll carry that support. But we are where we are today. I think this is a matter of fairness and equality. I cannot try to relate this position with any position over in that law department that is a whole law department, has a full staff and everybody else, where we have one individual here representing this whole body, all the individuals on this floor that has to do it all. And I'm looking at what was there before, and I'm talking about the salary and what we have here today, and I think the qualifications and the expertise that we have is something that should not be debated. It shouldn't even be, I think there's a certain amount of, embarrassment that comes, as we just belittle this and just continue to take it on. Move forward, vote your vote, that's how it'll carry, and that's why you're here. Let's move it.
Thank you, Councilman Smiley.
Councilmember, number one, just to be clear, I haven't lobbied anyone to vote anyway. I can't say that about others, but I have not. Embarrassment, that comment somewhat surprises me, because no one was worried about embarrassing people in the past when the issues have come up. And it's not my intent to embarrass anyone. As far as comparisons, I raised the comment position, whatever, because the ordinance, if it's been read, says, council believes that it is appropriate to set the grade as indicated on the attachment, which is a grade below the executive branch's county attorney and the same grade as its solicitor. So I just make the reference. It is the same grade, but it's not the same dollar value. And I didn't know, I'm sure all other council members have researched this and were aware of it. Maybe not. That's why I put it on the table. Bottom line is, I went through it once with members of this council going to the press about how I sandbagged them and I didn't tell them and they didn't read it. I went through it once, not going through it again. So that's the reason I make the information available. It makes that analogy. I just make the analogy complete. That's all.
Any other questions, member of council? Seeing none. Oh, Councilman Street.
I ain't got no dog in this fight, but the cliche is older than I am. Try to get something for nothing. You know what you get? Nothing.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other questions, comments, members of council? Seeing none, open the floor to the public. Any member of the public wishing to speak on the subject matter of this ordinance?
Well said.
Seeing none, moving on to item 8. I do not believe we need to go into executive session. We have a motion to go into executive session. If not, I will move on to item 9. Seeing no motion to go into executive session, we'll go up to item 9, other. Any member of council have any other? Seeing none, open the floor for public comment. Any members of the public wishing to speak, please do so at this time. Seeing none, we have a motion to adjourn. Second, all in favor.
Aye.
I thought you were.
Yeah, not too bad.
Yeah. Oops. What do you want?
I want to talk about.